Hello, everybody. We are GFBS. We're Grand Forks' best source. And here we go on a... What is it?
I killed the music because for some reason that's all glitchy. I think our audio for ourselves are fine, but...
Okay. Right. Well, that's no big deal. Anyway, on the show today, Dr. Gene Gullix is back in the studio, family nurse practitioner and mental health specialist. And your show today brought to you by First Community Credit Union. You know, if you've been dreaming about your forever home, well, forever, right? Well, now is the time to make that dream a reality. Now is the time to contact Craig Venske, mortgage loan officer with First Community Credit Union. You know, Craig can make your home buying dreams come true. Low interest rates, quality service. First Community Credit Union can help you with all of your home buying needs. You know, rates still incredibly low. Now might be the perfect time. Make your forever home dream come true. Contact Craig Venske, First Community Credit Union, 701-757-6805. Or you can email him, craig.venske@myfccu.com. First Community Credit Union, equal housing opportunity. If you have any questions for Dr. Gullix, feel free to call us. 701-213-0863 is our phone number. You can text or call. Again, that is 701-213-0863. And before we get going here, time for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Paul, I think he's going to like this one. What do you call a French guy wearing sandals? What do you call a French guy wearing sandals? Philippe Philop. What'd you think, Paul?
I don't know. I think Dr. Gene liked that more than I did.
Philippe Philop. I thought that was pretty good. Dr. Gene Gullix, welcome back to the show. Welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm good. I'm well. Thank you very much.
Unfortunate, last time you were here, I kind of had to get up and bail on you right in the middle of the show, and my apologies for that. But for people that maybe didn't see you in here for the first time, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I am a child development specialist and have a PhD in child and human development. I have spent my career as a family nurse practitioner specializing in mental health, working with children, parents, all the way up to age 94.
Oh, wow. Okay, this has been going on well over a year now, the pandemic thing. It's hard on us as adults, but for the kids, I mean, come on. This is taking a terrible toll on kids, and we're going to go through a bunch of these things that's happening, but is it going to get better? I mean, are we going to be better off when school gets done for the year? Maybe kids can be kids again?
Maybe. That's a tough question because children have lost so much academically.
Mm-hmm.
But yesterday, the day before, for the first time, I saw some groups of kids together without masks on that were laughing and playing.
Mm-hmm.
They were outside. So hopefully that will continue through the summer.
Well, you know, it's fracturing families. We talked a little bit beforehand. I mean, the quarantine, alcohol, drug abuse is up. Spousal abuse is up. All the things that are going up, they're all the bad things.
That's true. That's true. Alcohol use and addictions are up 200% in 1 year, and they were bad to start with. There's always been an upward trend, unfortunately. The depression in kids and adults is high. There's more people talking about dying and talking about suicide, as well as more suicides that are occurring. Children are very lonely. They're not getting their regular interactions, birthday parties, mm-hmm. family situations. Parents, even if they're working at home, are too busy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
'Cause you can't work and take care of little kids.
Right. And, you know, even if you take it as far as like sporting events, graduations, it's prom season. You know, with homecoming, there's so many different things that these kids, especially you feel bad for like the juniors and the seniors of last year. It's like the best years of their lives are just completely pulled away from them.
Yeah, some of the kids I know that are juniors and seniors were talking about the school having prom but social distancing, and they laughed and said, we're going to have our own parties.
Mm-hmm.
How do you have prom if you have to be 6 feet away from somebody?
Yeah, pretty tough to slow dance to some Lionel Richie when you got that social distancing thing going. We were talking about a few numbers there. I was looking at a study from the CDC. Shows young adults' level of anxiety and depression has increased by 63% since this whole pandemic began. Antidepressant use is up over 25%. And these are kids we're talking about.
Yep. These are kids that shouldn't have to be worrying about making other people sick, worrying about dying, worrying about losing scholarships, falling behind academically. There are some kids who have thrived with being home mm-hmm. because they've been bullied in school or they have parents that are home
mm-hmm.
Who can focus on them. But the majority have really struggled, and they estimate they're 85 to 90% behind academically.
Wow.
How do you catch up a whole year?
And, you know, we've already at the point now, the way the culture has changed and you know, different generations change. Kids now are more staying at home anyway. It seems like kids don't get out and do the physical activities outside. You get a lot more kids now because I've have friends that talk about their kids. All they want to do is sit around and play video games. Well, this certainly doesn't help things there.
No. As a matter of fact, video games and screen time is up.
Mm-hmm.
And it causes frontal lobe damage. They
sure.
can see it on brain scans. And the schools, of course, that are online, that's screen time. TVs are screen time.
Mm-hmm.
That's another factor. And then the pressure of social media when you have time to look at your phone.
Yeah.
Some kids, they estimate, look at their phone every 1 to 2 minutes. The girls, especially that I know that are middle school girls, mm-hmm. are really obsessed with it because to them, it gives them self-worth if they get enough likes.
Mm-hmm.
If someone doesn't like them in a certain amount of time,
sure.
then they're not good enough. So that's damaging in and of itself.
Does it seem to you like that is their only link to the outside world now, is things like Facebook and TikTok and all that junk?
It seems like it. They don't do a lot of texting. They don't do a lot of phone calling. That's the way they're communicating. And then they're open to criticism from mm-hmm. the whole world.
Sure.
And especially the middle school kids really struggle with that because they're learning who they are,
Absolutely.
What they're all about. They don't have the self-esteem. They want to be like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So if their friends are getting likes within 20 seconds and theirs took 45 seconds, it's devastating.
Yeah. So, I mean, in order to get a like within 20 seconds, you basically have to have the phone in your hand
yep.
at all times and on.
Yep.
And that is ridiculous.
And that's what's happening. And the coaches actually were the first ones to pick up on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's how often the kids were looking at their phones and how devastating it was when they didn't see what they expected.
You know, you had mentioned before, maybe this was something that David Waterman had brought with him, but some of these kids, say we're talking 3, 4, 5-year-olds, after this, going through this pandemic and all of this stuff and the masks and everything, this will stay with these guys forever.
It will. It will. And especially up till third grade. So the preschool kids, well, the infants even are being affected. Up to third grade, that whatever happens in that period of development affects you lifelong.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean some kids aren't resilient. It doesn't mean with help you can recover some of that. But if you're losing your ability to see people's mouths and communicate, as an infant, you're going to be delayed in speech. Doesn't mean you can't catch up at some point in time,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a usual thing. So there's an example. I was in church, and there's a baby in a stroller, and she was cooing at some women that did not have masks on,
mm-hmm.
and a lady bent over with a mask on, and the baby recoiled and looked at her and cried. And Dad went to help, and he had a mask on, and it made it worse. She cried, and then he took his mask off, and she settled and cuddled in. But
yeah,
they perceived the mask as being threatening.
Paul, the producer, just went out and yelled at the guys. they're doing construction work out here. They were we were told by mall management that they wouldn't be making any noise at 11 o'clock, but apparently they don't listen. Now, I
well, hopefully they just heard me.
Yeah, well, put it this way, Paul, I heard you. this is one thing. I have nothing against homeschooling, Gene, but when it comes to like social interaction, has been my only, I guess, against homeschooling. Is the kids need to get out. They need to be socializing with kids their age. But this is just making everything way worse, too.
Yeah, and this is not homeschooling.
Right,
is trying to be in school at home. You know, the homeschooling kids do very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, they do. Everyone I know does.
Yeah, they did. Extremely well for the most part. And they have physical education with other kids.
Mm-hmm.
And their parents make sure they have social interactions. This is different. This
sure.
is sitting at home with an iPad, trying to be in contact with the school. And some of the kids, they don't even pay attention when the teacher's on the screen because they're young or they're not interested or they haven't done their homework.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been 85 to 90% of the kids have at least had a grade drop in one class.
Yeah.
And there's been a significant decrease in scholarship because they're not maintaining the grades they had. So for the juniors and seniors, that's very devastating. How do you do AP biology online?
Right, right. You know? And, you know, most of the people, my friends that are parents with school-aged kids, they're at home, you know, if they were taking their classes at home. I would say the majority of my friends have said their kids are not doing near as good in their schoolwork as they did when they were in-person learning.
Right. And when I talk to them, they say maybe they spend an hour, maybe 2 hours on schoolwork when they're doing the online session. Mm-hmm. Now, most of the kids are back in North Dakota. Most of the kids are back in classroom, but they're separated. And their biggest complaint to me has been we go to lunch, but we have to sit 6 feet away, two or three people at a table. We're not allowed to turn and talk to people next to us because you might breathe on them. The little ones have come home crying because their desk or their lunch table faces the wall. They don't have interactions with each other. They're not learning to play. They're not learning to communicate. Now, I saw those teenagers goofing around for the first time I've seen, and it was so refreshing.
Yeah, you got to put a big smile on your face.
Yeah.
You had mentioned the baby cooing at some ladies that didn't have a mask on and then kind of got a little scared with the masked person. But Mary has a question. How do we overcome the children who are so afraid to take off their masks? I've run into this several times.
Yes, fear. Fear is a big factor. And, you know, the parents are doing the best that they know, but who do you believe and what facts do you believe? If you look at percentage of kids who have been impacted, it's extremely, extremely low, less than 0.1%.
Mm-hmm.
So if the parents are fearful, keep your mask on. Like I have a friend whose kids come home from school, they have to strip in the entryway, then they have to get in the shower, they have to have their masks on. Those kids are afraid of causing someone harm.
Mm-hmm.
They're afraid of becoming sick. But the biggest thing I hear is, I'm afraid grandma's going to die if I'm near her.
Yeah. I mean, isn't this almost to the point of brainwashing?
I would say.
Yeah.
You can't raise children, healthy children, by instilling fear in them.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is going to stay with them, and I'm going to see them as adults.
Yeah.
If someone is,
you know,
with anxiety.
You had mentioned bullying, and Aaron makes a good point here. I've heard, you know, the quotes, she's a COVID baby. Or that's a COVID puppy. Now, when you're a kid, if you get that label, I mean, that's just something more for kids to tease you about. You know, oh, here comes the COVID baby. I mean, it's like, where does it end?
Where does it end? And the seniors are going to be strapped with this because they're going to have their graduation date, 2020, 2021. And there's going to be assumptions made that they're not doing well or that they were slacking or they didn't, you know, whatever they were good at, they can't do.
And a lot of these kids, say both academically or athletically, who might be looking at college scholarships, things like that, their last could be 2 years of high school basically in the toilet. And basically they could be losing out on their chances to further their education at the college level.
Well, they are.
Mm-hmm.
They are. They're losing scholarships. I know one kid who was thought he was getting a scholarship, and he had a failing grade, first time ever, and he lost his scholarship. And he would not have, I'm very convinced, and so is his mom, that he would not have failed if he'd been in the classroom.
Yeah, with his teacher.
Right.
You know,
right.
I was talking about this before, too. You know, I mean, this is almost the making for, you know, one of those, I don't know if it'd be like a Hallmark movie, but, you know, you got that story of the guy who's in his mid-30s, late-30s, and he's just working at a local mill, and he could have been the next professional, you know, football, like the next professional quarterback for the Vikings, but he never got the opportunity because, you know, they just shut everything down, and they took away his graduation, they took away all that, and so just life-altering stuff here.
Well, and it alters into depression, and then they don't have... Depression is severe. People throw that word around.
Mm-hmm.
But depression is debilitating.
Yes,
and you can't make yourself get up and go practice, and you can't make yourself get up and get your A or B or whatever grade you expect when you have severe depression.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's very, very tough.
Oh, boy. Dr. Gene Gullick's family nurse practitioner, mental health specialist in the studio, and we've got a lot more questions for it, a lot more to talk about, but right now I want to talk about something else. You know, there is nothing better than treating yourself to some good homemade baked goods. We go to Oh for Heaven's Cakes. Yeah, the best cupcakes and cakes for special occasions, maybe just a treat. You can make them or have them by order, or you can walk in to find out more. And while you're there, man, they have got some great lunch and soup, too, with keto, gluten-free, vegan, and diabetic options. Maybe you own a business. Maybe it's time to treat your employees to a little treat. We'll check out their monthly employee discounts, too. Oh for Heaven's Cakes are on the north backside of the Grand Cities Mall here. If you can find a place to park. They're open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 4, Saturdays 9 to noon. Call 701-757-CAKE. That's 701-757-2253. Or go to ohforheavenscakes@yahoo.com. You can be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins. Oh for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. The reason I mentioned the parking is because there's construction equipment and garbage all over back there. But there we go. Got that out of the way. Dr. Gene, you have been spoke to the Senate, North Dakota Senate.
What, yes.
Three times now? Tell us about how that went.
Yeah, I went to Bismarck, was invited by one of the representatives to speak to the Senate. So the first meeting was with the GOP and talked to them about the effects of quarantine and masks have had on child development. Then I spoke to a gala for about almost an hour. And then at the Senate committee meeting where they were going to make a recommendation about whether the mask mandate should go through or not,
mm-hmm.
I spoke there briefly. So it's amazing because people are not aware of the emotional and the
no.
social impact on kids. They think about only the COVID as an infection. And, you know, the chance... Well, there's enough research out now. It's been since...
Mm-hmm.
When did this all start?
Oh, a year ago, March?
Yeah, yeah. So now they've had some research that shows the kids are not transferring
mm-hmm.
the illness. They're not getting sick. There are some exceptions. There have been, I can't remember exactly the number, but there have been some deaths. And those kids, according to the research studies, have all had underlying conditions.
Sure.
So I wanted the Senate to know what is going on behind the mask, what's going on with the kids at home.
You know, and I would always, you know, say that this is going to just cause more underlying conditions. I mean, you know, I don't have any data or research, but just even the kids wearing the masks for as long as they have, I've heard that it can cause, you know, a bunch of oral type of diseases and all kinds of stuff that can affect them later on in life.
Yeah, they've gotten more thrush, which is the fungus coating on the tongue. They've gotten more, some have gotten more severe respiratory problems.
Mm-hmm.
Asthma has gotten worse with some. And they're afraid, parents are afraid to take them to the clinic.
Oh, yeah.
So then things get bad before mm-hmm. they get care.
When you were speaking to the Senate, did they pay attention or did they kind of roll their eyes and go, oh, here we go again, some other anti whatever person? Or I suppose there was a little of each.
There was a little of each. There was a lot of that with the committee.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of kind of rude interruptions. But the interesting thing was they cut me short, but the next person was a physician who was going to talk about what he sees in his practice radiology. And he was very emotional, very teary after what I said. And so he ended up talking about his special needs child and the effects on her.
Mm.
So that was a God thing. That
sure.
was good.
Yes.
At the gala, people were there because they were all kind of on the same page with what's going on and
mm-hmm.
how do we end this and how do we help each other and people without being afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fun.
You know, and I'm going to go back to this story again. This was in my hometown. It was at the local grocery store monopoly. 10-year-old child, special needs child, walked in with his mother just to, all they wanted to do was go to the deli, get something for supper, and walk right back out. And they refused service because the child did not have a mask on. and he would have had a meltdown, you know, and they still made her leave without getting supper.
Yep.
And it's to the point now where I know a lot of people that are boycotting some of these stores. I only go if I absolutely have to.
I know there's one in this room.
Yeah. Well, I know Paul won't.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's
and that's fear based too. They don't, you know, they're not updated on the literature. They're not finding out. You can wear a mask, but if you touch it once, you have to change it.
Yeah. I mean, you end up changing your mask 20 times a day if you do what the CDC says you should do.
If your glasses fog up, it means the virus can be escaping.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Somebody was messaging me yesterday, and I mean, this is just how ridiculous it's gotten. He was talking about trying to get into a store. I think it was in Moorhead, and the people at the store said that he had to wear a mask because it was Minnesota state law. And I told like, no, it's not a law. But that's what a lot of people really think. They think that this is a law.
Yeah, it is not a law. And no one has taken it up legally that I'm aware of in this area, but I know lawyers have said that it's, you know, they own the business. They can have whatever regulations they want. But if it was kicked to the courts, they probably wouldn't win.
Right.
But that's, I don't know a lot about that.
Okay. We got another text here from Aaron, and thank you. The new COVID babies and puppies are scared of people. They aren't used to faces and how to interact with new people. I don't have a lot of experience with new babies, but I do with puppies, and I know how important it is to have your face right in their face, and the same with a baby all the time. But when you're wearing a mask, and you know, when kids try to understand someone, they're looking at your eyes, your nose, your mouth, how your lips move, all that stuff. And great example, I've got a 2-year-old granddaughter, and my neighbors have a 1-year-old baby, and how they watch you talk, how they soak it in. They're just like a sponge, and how they try to duplicate what you're doing. And now all they see is this.
We just had our son Connor a couple of days ago, and you know, I wanted to make sure that I didn't have my, like, a mask on or anything when, you know, he first opened his eyes. And when he first opened his eyes, I was too slow to it. I forgot, you know, I didn't really have it anyway. But then after that, I took it off. But then I was sitting there and I was looking at him and I was wearing my hat. And I thought to myself, I was like, you know what? I should take this off. Otherwise, he's just going to think I have this really funny shaped head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the amazing thing is the number of people that lip read. And children learning to talk lip read. Mm-hmm. And you know how you pronounce things differently when you're talking to a 2-year-old than when you're talking to a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what does the cat say? Meow.
Yeah.
You know, so they don't see that. And when a person smiles, they have a mask on and they smile. It's perceived as a frown.
Mm-hmm.
It looks the same.
Sure. Yeah.
What does the sheep say? Where's your mask?
Yeah. Had to put that in there.
I'll be here all day.
Okay.
But the other thing that's happening is kids don't, they don't see the cues.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're going to run in the street or run to a swing and dad says stop or has a fearful look, the kids usually look back to see if mom and dad are okay with it. Like, don't touch an outlet. If they can't see or hear what you're saying, it's can be dangerous. Hopefully most parents are not wearing masks in the house, but I know some that do. I have seen more and more that are thinking about it at least.
Mm-hmm.
When I walk at the mall, I see fewer masks, but there's still a lot of masks.
Yep, there are still some. I haven't had anybody yell at me for a long time for not wearing one, which is a good thing. Now, basically, it's fear. Is driving everybody right now.
Yeah.
And we can't keep being fearful. I mean, I could walk out the door here and get ran over by a truck. I could catch something else, heaven forbid, and it's just part of life. And don't get me wrong here. If you've lost somebody to COVID, it's happening. But you have to live your life. There's a million other things out there that can kill you. There's a lot of other things out there that have a better percentage of killing you than COVID does.
And that includes cars.
Mm-hmm.
And none of us are afraid to get in our car. But the number of deaths and injuries from automobile accidents is much higher than from COVID percentage-wise. So, yes, fear is the driving force.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kids are afraid. If you have a mask on, they're afraid. If you don't have a mask on, depending on how they're being brought up. I had one lady curse me and spit at me.
Oh, boy.
And I was walking by myself without a mask. There was nobody within 20 feet of me. So people are being nasty, and the kids are hearing it and seeing it on TV, online.
So the lady that screamed and spit at you, do you think you could have took her in a fight?
Oh, she was little.
I would have went up and punched her right in the mask. Well, no, I probably wouldn't have, but I would have got a girl to do it for me.
Yeah.
When we were mentioning about the grocery store monopoly, John says, yeah, it was mellow moods. They definitely told me it was state law. That's what Paul brought up. And then he says, and I told them that it was not a state law, and they told me that they were calling the cops for trespassing and that it was against the law. I told them to... Let's see. I told him to go ahead. Falsifying information was against the law. She started stumbling words. That ended that quick. I left and won't be going back. Mary says, I have not been forced to wear a mask in many stores, and even today we were requested to wear a mask. We spoke to the manager. He said it was a requirement, but when we didn't put one on, they did not object. More people need to refuse to wear them as it's harming them. And here's a funny thing. When we get back to the grocery store monopoly, they've got how many mask police sitting at, okay, you got to enter this door. You got to exit that door. You have to follow the arrows and go down the aisles each way because they probably have undercover arrow police walking around the stores too. But heaven forbid you try to get to a checkout with somebody working there and they've got like three open, but they've got all these people around masking or policing for wearing a mask, which is, I know for a fact, I've talked to some of these employees, that's not in their job title. That's not what they were hired for. They were hired to do a certain thing, not that.
Right, and they're quitting their jobs, you know, in not just in that business, but they're quitting because of the discomfort. A lot of them, like I get migraine headaches.
Mm-hmm.
Especially fast if I have a mask on.
Yep, yep.
I had COVID. I'm not a threat to anybody. But it's very real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people who get it are in the high-risk categories usually.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're talking about variants that are getting 30-year-olds sick, and who knows what's the truth anymore.
Right.
They talk about effectiveness, long-term studies show safety, but there isn't a long-term study if they only started developing these vaccines a year ago.
Right.
Long-term study and vaccines are 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, it's funny how they change things. If you get a vaccine, you can still, what are they saying now, you can still have kids at an earlier time than you normally would. You can still give blood earlier than you would if you had a regular vaccine. It's funny how they kind of change all the rules for this stuff. And again, COVID's real. I've got a family member right now that's on a ventilator down in the cities from COVID, but a ton of underlying health issues. Yeah. So who or what do we believe? What would you say to the average person maybe watching this show that all they're doing is what they're told? What would you tell them where to look, what to look up, what research there is out there to find out more so they're not just brainwashed, especially by mainstream media, some of the our government officials. What do you tell these people?
First of all, I would tell them that everybody who's giving advice is well-meaning.
Mm-hmm.
They're not trying to harm anybody.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at some of the known medical studies. The doctors have a good history of caring for people.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of naturopaths that have a good history. There's a lot of people who have done a lot of research and reading and developmental specialists like me. So where do you find the truth? I don't know in today's world because I just read that if you have COVID vaccine, you can't get it again. And I just read that you can't.
Oh, yeah. And more people are getting it again.
And there are some what we call refereed clinical studies, but mm-hmm. most people don't have access to that.
You know? Mm-hmm.
So you have to go to a source. The main ones are CDC and FDA, but they contradict themselves.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
Dr. Fauci contradicts himself.
Oh, he contradicts everybody. Yeah.
So where's common sense?
Mm-hmm. And if you people out there that follow the show, follow GFBS, if you think I'm incredibly smart because I come up with all these questions, you know what I do? I Google it. I Google to find out information, and you would be amazed what's out there from the CDC and all of that. But all it does, it takes 10 minutes of your day, and you would be amazed how much you can learn in 10 minutes by just looking some of this stuff up for yourself. Maybe get a voice for yourself instead of being told what to do all the time now.
Yeah, I think people need to start trusting themselves again and think, and common sense. We know what children need. Let's give it to them.
Mm-hmm. You
know,
right.
We know they need to have their well child visits. They need to have nutrition. They need to have education. They need to play. So let's give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
And parents can do that.
Sure.
Parents are making a difference. There was a school board in Minot, and parents said, we're tired of this. We have to have our kids interacting. I don't know what the outcome was. I don't think it happened overnight, but at least it's a start.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I was going to say, too. You know, if you want to wear a mask and, you know, you want to enforce them in your business or whatever, fine, go ahead. I don't really care if you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're sitting here and you see these kids that are 5 years old and they got the little kid masks, you know, and stuff. And it's like, they don't need to be wearing that. Right. They should be in school. They should be playing. They should be having fun. They should be out, you know. What's the best thing to fight a virus? Being out in the sun and having exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But no, they're just, you know, they're not getting oxygen. They're sitting there, you know, like you said, just on their phones, on their tablets, not doing anything because they can't.
They can't, and they're afraid. And they're afraid if they do that someone's going to get sick. So we've got to get over that.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are not going to be resilient if they don't get an opportunity to engage in those things that we call normal child development. The things that parents can do is parent the way they would have before.
Yeah, right.
Have the interactions, have the discipline, have the clinic visits, have the play dates. No.
Let them be kids again.
Let them be kids.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the other thing, too, that's so terrible about this is like, you know, if I were to, you know, say go to a local Monopoly grocery store, and even if I wore a mask, but say my 8-year-old daughter wasn't wearing one, all of a sudden now you're in a confrontation because they're trying to do that. Well, that's not healthy for the kids either. Seeing adults sitting there interacting with each other, like, you know, yelling at each other and being confrontational over something that makes absolutely no sense.
Right. And families are fracturing over this.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one sister will say, I need to be distanced. I need to do this. I need to wait 3 months, 2 weeks after my vaccine, whatever. Another one will say, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
And there isn't discussion. There's just, I'm right and you're wrong. And
yeah, I have not seen, my mother lives an hour away. I haven't seen her since the pandemic began because she wouldn't come to my house because I refused to wear a mask in my own house. I finally talked her into, she's coming up in a couple of weeks because she got vaccinated. So, but yeah, it is fracturing families. And I don't know, Dr. Gullix, if you can answer this question. Can you give plasma if you've had the vaccine? Somebody is texting wanting to know, and I don't know if you know that.
I read a study that said they are expecting that you won't be able to donate plasma after you've had both vaccines. I don't know what the time frame is.
Mm-hmm.
That in itself would be an emergency crisis.
Yeah.
No, plasma is needed for transfusions, for accidents, for autoimmune disorders. I read that in a research study. I haven't read the opposite. I think nobody knows because we don't know long-term effects.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but certainly the vaccine the technology's been around, but it hasn't been used in the way it is being used.
Sure.
And so do they know what is going to be in the bloodstream, how it's going to affect?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But it's out there. There's a lot of things out there, and that's why it's hard. So I tend to go to the clinical journals,
mm-hmm.
the medical journals, and then I look at the frontline doctors, and I look at the naturopaths and what's going on with that too. And then my background in child development.
Yep.
You know, parenting.
I mentioned that I Google a lot of things. Mary says, unfortunately, Google is removing a lot of good sites if they differ with the CDC. Facebook comments and every post that doesn't conform to the CDC guidelines removes or censors the person. And that makes sense because I was looking for it was about kids and wearing masks, the effects, and I could not find one thing.
Yep.
It was all about adults, but there was nothing really in there about kids. She also adds, this is Marie, COVID gave me the courage to homeschool, and I am grateful for it. Paul, thanks, buddy. The best source I used for unbiased articles is DuckDuckGo.
Yeah, that's becoming pretty popular.
Yeah,
and it's also becoming less secure.
Yeah, just like everything else.
You know,
yeah.
And I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but you know, you mentioned something when you came in today, and I didn't even know about it. And I think this is just completely terrible. You said that now they're trying to get high school kids to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
Why?
Last Friday, there's a program, I think it's called WellCare, something like that. It's a national program. And they went into Red River High School on Friday and vaccinated kids 16 and older who had parents' permission. This Friday, they're doing Central. I don't know why. Statistics don't bear it out.
Yeah, I mean, they don't know the effects of what this vaccine could have 5 years down the road, but they do know that kids that are in high school have a 99.99% chance of recovering from it if they get it.
Right.
I mean, it's just, you know,
the thing that bothers me the most about the vaccine isn't, and I'm not an expert on, is it effective, is it not effective? I don't know that people know, but there's no health assessments being done.
Mm-hmm.
So the CDC says, if you have these problems, you should not get vaccinated, but nobody I know has been asked. So I have a friend who's 70-some. I just found out she had a history of Bell's palsy. That's an absolute contradiction, but she has been hounded to get the vaccine, and no one has asked her history.
Really?
So she's not the only one.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's dangerous, is if you don't get a health assessment and treat people as individuals instead of as just push them through. So we don't know what these kids' health status is.
Mm-hmm. You know, when you talk about the kids psychologically, how this is affecting them, and you know, you just keep telling them, hey, it's not going to last forever. How do you tell these kids to stay positive? I mean, suicides are up. Drug and alcohol abuse, they're all up. How do you keep a kid positive during this whole pandemic thing? I mean, what do you do?
What do people do before? And that's what mm-hmm. they're not doing. They're not complimenting them. They're not giving. They need a routine. For example, my grandchildren are 12 and 14, my grandsons, and they're very positive.
Mm-hmm.
And they were on the 2 days off, 2 days on, and all that. But mom is home. She has an exercise routine for them. They do some writing. They have a reading time. They have social time, either Zoom. Now they can be together some with neighborhood kids. So the things kids need,
mm-hmm.
they need to be praised. They need to be disciplined, not punished, mm-hmm. disciplined. They need to know that they're loved. And the adults cannot get so into themselves and their fears that they forget to tell their kids. Like these kids I worry about that come in the house and have to disrobe and shower and mm-hmm. do all of that before they get a hug. No, that's not healthy.
No.
You know, in the long run, they're going to be they're going to be OCD probably.
Yeah. And you know, I mentioned too earlier in the show that how generations change, and you hear it a lot. Well, they don't make kids like they used to. My answer to that is always, it starts at home.
Right.
Don't blame it on your kid. It all starts at home, and that's the bottom line.
Yep. And kids are kids, mm-hmm. no matter what year it was. What changes the generations is the restrictions the adults put on them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I was a kid, we ran up and down the neighborhood. We had restrictions.
Yeah.
I had to be home when the lights came on.
Yep.
You know, those kinds of things. Now kids are rarely outside
right.
without a parent. And
yeah.
And they're in organized sports more than pickup games,
mm-hmm.
which means they're not learning their own.
They're being being told what to do.
Right. They're not learning how to deal with conflict or how to get along or how to solve problems. Dad or mom or the coach steps in and says, hey, enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
You go out here and you do this. So I'm worried about this generation becoming leaders.
Oh, boy.
And being able to debate and being able to discuss, because I just read an article yesterday, 85 to 90% of the universities don't allow it.
Yeah.
You know, you do it our way or you don't.
Mm-hmm. And this is our future. I mean, you talk about our leaders in 20 years down the line, 30 years down the line. It's our future.
Yep.
They don't want them to lead. They want them to just conform and do what they're told.
Yep.
And that's sad. Do you think, are you going to be speaking in front of the Senate anymore? And if you do get another chance, Dr. Gullicks, what will you tell them? like the little chuckle.
I don't know if I will, because that bill has been passed. It's at the governor's desk right now. There are some resolutions about other things, and I hope if it involves children that they would think about me. I will be on Ladies of Another View.
Okay.
Out of Bismarck, Fargo. I think it's on channel KVLY here.
Okay, okay.
So I'm going to be in studio with them on the 27th of April. I'm not sure if it's live or if it's recorded, but that's a nice opportunity.
Yes, yes. And do you think that when you do a show like that, do you think they censor you at all, or do they give you a list of, we really don't want you talking about this? Letterbuck.
That one is whatever I want to talk about.
Wow. Yeah. You don't find much of that anymore.
No. No, it's kind of hard.
Man, I don't take this the wrong way. I'm hoping I don't see you again in this studio, but I have a feeling we probably will.
You think it will?
And I didn't mean that in a bad way.
No, I know. I mean, there's a lot of things we haven't really talked about. You know, how do we prevent this suicide ideation? What's going on with addiction and abuse? How about child abuse? Foster kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's just so many things.
Yeah,
anxiety and depression in the adults is crippling. I know people personally that will not leave their home.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily because they're afraid, but because they become so anxious and so depressed about life that they can't function.
Yeah, and I would imagine it would start because I know a couple people too that have hardly left their house in over a year. Mm-hmm. Okay, there's the scared part, but then that turns into the mental part, the depression part, which can lead to the, you know, addiction and abuse and all of that stuff. But, you know, get out, live your life.
Yeah.
You know, if you're still worried about it, get out in the backyard.
Right.
Do something. Go out in the woods. Take a walk of the Greenway. Ride your bike.
And care about somebody else.
Exactly.
You know, we're all stuck in our own fears and thinking of ourselves and what we can do or prevent for ourselves or for maybe for a family person, but care about other people. What is your purpose? You are here at this point in time for a reason. God chose this time, and he knew you were going to be in it. So what are we to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not to stay in our own little hole. There's lots of ways you can help other people without being in physical contact if you're afraid of that. But serve your purpose in life.
Yeah, yeah. Always enlightening talking to you, and I'm glad we actually made it through a whole show today.
That's good.
Before you leave, you might want to leave a couple of business cards, because I might be calling you up just for advice in my own life.
Yep. That would be fine.
I have, you know, this is more of like a personal question, and I don't know, it's kind of, you don't have to answer it if you don't want to, but, you know, I saw some videos that show how, you know, they're just using COVID as a way of kind of like, you know, population control under the guise of like a health concern. And then, you know, with this vaccine coming out, you know, with the Great Reset and the New World Order, you know anything about that? Have you ever heard anything about that?
I've heard about it. I don't, like I said earlier, I don't know what's true and what's not true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do we know? Because you can turn this station on and get this information, this one, that. So go to the known resources. You know,
World Health Obviously Organization, CDC, anything.
CDC, FDA contradict themselves some, but if you can get online with some of the women's blogs for parents, there's a lot of things that have stayed the same as far as those sources.
You know, this kind of made me think of something too, because maybe it wasn't the World Health Organization. I could be mistaken, but didn't President Trump get us out of the WHO because he said that it was corrupted?
Yes.
Wow. Yes.
But apparently our new leadership doesn't think so.
apparently.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Dr. Gene Gullix, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
Always enlightening talking to Dr. Gene Gullix. She's a family nurse practitioner and a mental health specialist. Parents, just remember, it all starts at home, all right? Let your kids be kids. If you're afraid, just use a little caution. It's that simple, all right? Special thanks, by the way, going out to Probita's Promotions. You know, if you're looking to boost your brand, Probita's Promotions will make you stand out from the crowd. They'll consult with you at no cost to help you find the perfect swag for your business. Whether it's logoed apparel, maybe you want hats or promotional products or trade show displays or even awards, they are the region's top provider for free online stores. In fact, Probita's stores are the perfect option for your company apparel ordering, team spirit wear, any type of organization wanting to dress their members with logoed apparel. Probita's Promotions, they've got locations all over North Dakota. Grand Forks, Fargo, Bismarck, and Minot. Shop probitaspromo.com or call 1-866-PRO-SWAG. Boost your brand. Stand out from the crowd. And do it with Probita's Promotions. Hey, don't forget, we are now on Amazon. Just tell your smart speaker to play GFBS podcast, all right? Tomorrow, Sue Sherrick with the Northlands Rescue Mission is here. They've got a show coming up. It's called Live from Broadway. We'll talk about that. Make sure you like us, share us, tag us, and follow us. And also make sure you hit that notification bell, all right? You know, we all know Grand Forks is a great place. Grand Forks' best source is giving it an identity again.
Do, 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 do,
I was wondering where the music went.
Do, 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 do.
Slow fade.